It's Morning Edition on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Clay Masters. We're bringing you conversations with presidential candidates in the run-up to the Iowa caucuses. Today, Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar. She's been making trips down to Iowa long before announcing her candidacy. And last Friday night in Davenport, my co-host of the IPR podcast Caucus Land, Kate Payne, and I sat down with Klobuchar in her campaign bus. I started the conversation by asking why she regularly brings up working with Iowa Republican U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley during her stump speeches.
I disagree with him on a lot of things, including, of course, some of the handling of some of the Judiciary Committee matters. But I guess it's just an example that I find common ground where I can, and I work with people where I can. And most importantly, where I think, which I think is key to some of my success, I do try to give credit where credit's due. And it's not like I'm promoting him. I just want to be honest. I'm in a state. And for me to say this bill was just mine when I've done it with him, or I passed the farm bankruptcy bill with him, I don't think that's right. And you'll see me mention a lot of other senators, Democrats included, when I talk about the work that I do. It's just the truth.
And you served as a prosecutor in Minnesota's largest county. During that time, you had a tough-on-crime approach, fighting for longer sentences, harsher sentences, more prosecutions. That is a trend that has contributed to disparate rates of incarceration by race in this country, particularly in the upper Midwest and in states like Iowa. It's very stark as well. Do you have regrets about that record?
Well, actually, I am very proud of the work that our prosecutors did. And if you actually look at my record from that time period, incarceration of African Americans, prison sentences went down by 12%. That is because I focused on white collar crime. And we saw a major shift in that. We started handling more and more of cyber crimes, and we put a judge in prison and did all kinds of things involving major white-collar crime. I also used drug courts, a huge believer in drug courts. I diversified our office. I worked with the Innocence Project, and not only did a DNA review of all our cases, but also started, based on a research from someone from Iowa, a new form of eyewitness ID, a professor here, where instead of showing all the pictures at once, you show them one at a time. One thing I would change, if I could do this all over again, because there is systematic racism in our justice system, the sentencing on the federal level, and Minnesota has its own set of disparities. I would have changed some of that. That wasn't in my power, but I would have changed some of it. I'm glad we had sentencing guidelines. I think that could make things more fair. But the other thing I would change is the way we were handling police-related shootings. Back then, it was thought to be more fair to go to a grand jury so you didn't let any politics enter in. And I think it would be much better for a prosecutor to hold herself responsible in making those decisions herself. So the number one thing when I got in there the African-American community asked for was that we put the resources and the time into solving the cases of their little kids that have been killed. They'd been dormant. And we worked with the police and solved a bunch of murders of African-American kids and put the guys away in jail.
And so turning somewhat to agriculture, in the state of Iowa in particular, we produce a tremendous amount of corn, and elsewhere in the country as well, a lot of that going to biofuels like ethanol. On the other hand, we have extensive research showing that the way that we produce corn is detrimental to soil health. It contaminates water, and Iowa farmers aren't necessarily able to pay their bills, going bankrupt on this system. And how we grow corn contributes to climate change as well. How do you square those goals of trying to support farmers while also trying to meet these climate goals by 2050?
Well, one of the things that I think is most promising is the pilot that we put in the last farm bill, which incentivized farmers to do things like plant winter crops that would help with sequestration of carbon and reducing of carbon dioxide. Think of all the vast fields we have here in Iowa and across the country. And this actually came out of something that Senator Harkin did with EQIP and CRP, which are conservation programs that were near and dear to his heart that I strongly support and would like to expand. In addition to that, you could actually do more incentives for carbon and carbon reduction with our farmers. There's a lot going on with using less water so we can conserve water more and using technology to figure that out and rotating crops and all kinds of new ideas that are out there that I think are exciting. We still want our farmers to feed the world. We don't want to become dependent on foreign food. And I think one of the things that's been really devastating to rural Iowa and to our farmers is just this lack of consistency and any kind of expectations when it comes to his farm policy. His agriculture sector actually said that just let small dairy farms close down. That's going to happen. And so I would not be like that. I know a lot about ag. I've been involved in 3 farm bills, including with the one that Senator Harkin negotiated. I had to put a big emphasis on conservation. I'm strongly in support of our environmental laws. I don't like the rollbacks that Donald Trump has engaged in, and you can do some of this without Congress to bring them back. And then I would also make sure we stop granting these secret waivers to the oil companies, Chevron, Exxon. This is something where environmentalists and farmers are together on this. It's been outrageous what he's done when you have fuels like biodiesel that are actually good for the environment, and he's been rolling back on them. So I actually think that this is an exciting new possibility for states like Iowa, the challenge of climate change, because of wind, because of solar, renewables, and all of the things that we could do to create new opportunities, the research that could go on at Iowa's great colleges and universities. But right now, it's just stuck because Donald Trump doesn't want to do anything about it.
On day one in the Klobuchar presidency, like, what is that executive order that you sign? What is that priority?
Okay, yeah, this is going to be fun. On day one, I will start the day with no mean tweets, only a nice tweet, and then the media won't want to do. No, won't know what to do. I have a 100-day plan out there, and actually, it has over 130 things in it that you can do without Congress. About a third of them are bills that you can introduce in the first 100 days, but most of them are executive actions. So on the very first day, I would sign us back into the International Climate Change Agreement. That is does not need Congress to get that done. And that's day one. There are so many other things you can do, reversing the policies on separating kids from their parents. You can actually do, without passing a bill, close the boyfriend loophole for guns. And that's my bill that says domestic abusers convicted shouldn't be able to get guns. And I found out you can do that actually without Congress. So there are over 100 things you can get done without Congress in the first 100 days.
That's Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar talking with my co-host of Caucusland, Kate Payne, and me. You can find interviews we've done with other presidential candidates at iowapublicradio.org and on the NPR Politics podcast On the Trail series. Don't forget to subscribe to IPR's Caucusland, where you'll hear more of this conversation with Senator Klobuchar in an upcoming episode. I'm Clay Masters. It's Morning Edition on IPR.